Good evening.
I'd like to call your attention to Psalm 119:11, a statement made by David. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You consider the close application that David made of God's word. He hid it in his heart that it might be ready when he needed it on any occasion. And what a wonderful use of God's word to have the word of God hid in your heart so that whenever you needed it, the word of God would be available unto you. David viewed God's word as a treasure that was worth laying up. And he thought that the safest and best place for this treasure was in his heart. Oh, that men and women would feel the same way today. Is that our safest and best place for the word of God is to lay it up and treasure it up in our hearts, as opposed to the coffee table, as opposed to the bookshelf, but to put the word of God in our hearts so that on any occasion we might have free use and free course with the word of God. But I don't want you to believe that this is simply about memory work, because I believe that it's really about living according to the word of God, celebrating the word of God. David rejoiced in the word of God. So he thought that the word should be laid up or stored in his heart so that he might live. He might practically carry out those things that was contained in the word of God. And so he actually celebrated the word of God. He rejoiced in the word of God. And so we might say, do more than commit it to the head, but commit it actually to the heart. If we will have the word of God in our hearts, then we must put it in our hearts. So it took effort. David said, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart, I stored in my heart, I put in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So if the word of God is going to be put in your heart, God is not going to put it there, my friend. You must make every effort to commit the word of God to your heart and to your life. I want to know several reasons why we should hide the word of God in our hearts. So we could state it today this way: "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might be informed." I want the word of God in my heart that I might be informed. Informed of what? Informed of God's commandments. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3, John writes, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And so wouldn't it be a wonderful use of God's word if we hide his word in our hearts that we might be informed of a few things? And one of those things that we're informed about is keeping his commandments. The reason why this is vitally important is because this is one of the ways we express our love toward God. It's more than just simply good wishes or a good feeling or some kind of sentiment expressed toward God, but it's actually practically taking his word and applying it to my life and to my heart and actually living accordingly. And so Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So then a wonderful use of laying up God's word in your heart is so that I might be informed of his commandments, so I can know exactly what I must do to be pleasing unto him. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might be informed." Informed of what? Informed of his will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." My friends, to understand the will of the Lord will allow me to live wisely. The proverb writer was saying, Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In chapter 2 and verse number 6, he said, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." In chapter 3:13, "Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And so we know that living wisely in this world, the world doesn't recognize how to live wisely in the world, but if we are informed as to the will of God, we can live a wise life. We can actually live a life that is approved of by God. In Titus 2:11-12, Paul says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation teacheth us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." My friends, I can't think of any better use than storing up the word of God in our hearts so we might be informed of his commandments and informed of his will, but also informed of his mystery. Consider what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse number 2 beginning. He says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, wherefore I wrote a few in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ,
which in other age was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You know, I believe that man should be ashamed if he is not informed of what God did to bring about his salvation. If man is not informed as to what God did in his scheme of redemption, that man ought to be ashamed. In 2 Peter chapter 1:10, Peter says that the prophets search diligently regarding these things. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12, he says the angels even desire to look into these things. So how should we not be informed as to what God did in his plan, in his redemptive plan to bring about man's salvation, if we don't recognize exactly what all God went through to bring about our redemption? How can we truly then appreciate it? So I believe it is a wonderful use of the word of God in our hearts to be informed of his commandments, informed of his will, and informed of his mystery. But let's go a little further. That word have I hid in my heart that I might be warned. You know, there are many times we need to allow God's word to warn us about our friendships. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Evil communications corrupt good manners or good morals. Anyone who will keep their innocence will have to keep good company." And we've seen many lives destroyed because they have kept company that were people who were actually ungodly or unrighteous, and has ruined many people because of these ungodly associations. How many of our children and our young people have been led out into the world and away from Christ because of ungodly associations? So generation after generation after generation, the truth of God's word is revealed that evil communications or associations will corrupt good morals. Not only that, I've hid that word in my heart that I might be warned, not only about friendships, but about fleshly sowing. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 and 8, Paul says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." My friend, God has shown us that right now, while we're living, this is seed time. We are sowing our seeds, and God will not be mocked. That what a man sows throughout his lifetime, he will reap in that great harvest. At the end of the age and end of the time, God will bring forth his judgment, and in that judgment, every man will be judged for what he has sown. In that context, we see that we can sow to the Spirit by doing those spiritual things required of God. My friends, we can help, and we can certainly appreciate how that we can support the gospel. We can certainly appreciate how that we can help our brothers and sisters who fall and who are overtaken in fault. We can also show that we can do those things by sowing spiritually regarding those who have fallen short, and those who actually, when it comes to doing those things or carrying those burdens in life, that we can actually help and assist in carrying those burdens. We also show our spiritual sowing by carrying our own burdens. There are certain things that we must do that no one can do for us. And we also are ready to help and communicate good things to all those, especially those of the household of faith. And so we show that we are showing good things when we keep God's commandments and when we live in accordance with his will. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might be warned." Warned about friendships. Warned about fleshly sowing. Warned about God's judgments. When you consider God did bring judgment on the world of the antediluvians in Genesis chapter 6. We saw that God brought the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah in Abraham's day in Genesis 19. We saw God's judgment on Egyptians in Moses' day in Exodus 7 through chapter 12. And we saw God's judgments on the Canaanites in Joshua's day. We saw God's judgments on Israel and on Judah during the days of the prophets. And we saw God's judgment on Jerusalem during the first century, AD 70. And God said he will come again to judge the world. When Paul meets those Athenians in Acts chapter 17, verse number 30, he says, "The time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanding all men everywhere to repent. For he had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, and to give assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead." And so God says he will judge the world. evidenced by the fact that God has brought about many judgments upon man, shows that God will bring judgment. God said all men would have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according as he had done, whether it be good or bad." I believe it is a good use of God's word to hide in our hearts and continuously be informed regarding God's judgments and to be warned. My friends, not only that, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might be transformed." Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Paul said we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That means we need to be changed inwardly so that we might manifest that change outwardly in our actions and in our manner of living. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, part of that transformation is being able to think on good things. In Philippians 4 and verse number 8, if a brother has it, Brother Mike, are you there? Read it for me if you will.
"Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things."
Part of that spiritual transformation is aspiring to positive thinking, to be able to think on good things. We live in a world of deceit. Therefore, we need to think on truth. We live in a world full of defilement. Therefore, we need to think on that which dignifies. We live in a world of ungodliness. Therefore, we need to think on righteousness. We live in a world of perversion. Therefore, we need to think on purity. We live in a world full of hatred, and therefore, we need to think on love. And in a world of evil reports, we need to think on that which is well spoken of. We should not allow the world to steal from us our virtue nor our praise by its constant tempting us to think evil and give place to evil that is all about us. "Thy word have I hid in my heart," David said, "that I might not sin against thee." There are great uses for the word of God if we will just simply hide it in our hearts. And if we will hide it in our hearts, then the word of God will certainly assist us as we live in this life from here to glory. If you're here tonight, do you have the word of God in your heart? If not, why not? If you're here tonight, you need to know what God did to save you. One of the things we need to be informed about is God's redemptive plan. If a man doesn't know what God did to save him, how will he know what to do to be saved? And so we need to be informed about those kinds of things. One of the things, if you don't know what God did, is he sent his son to die for you. And his son shed his precious blood, perfect was he, so that he might give a sacrifice that was acceptable and pleasing unto the God of heaven. And that sacrifice, my friends, is a substitutionary sacrifice because he took you and my place. Because he knew no sin and we sinned so much, then he had to sacrifice himself so that we would be able to have our sins removed, that God's justice would be satisfied. So if you recognize what Jesus did, you got to believe in him. Repent of your sins and confess his name. You need to be added to his body through the watery grave of baptism so that you might identify with him. When you come up out of the watery grave, be faithful unto death, he said, and I give you a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Those of us who may need to change from the inwardly to outward, we need to make sure we make the necessary changes through repentance, confession, and prayer. And God will help us and assist us, and heaven is waiting to rejoice over one that comes back more so than 99 that need no repentance. If you need to respond to the invitation, come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, there's power, wonder-working power in the prayer. Just blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Who would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Who would you do service for, Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Who would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Maybe seated.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. As we turn to 1 Corinthians 11, Paul addresses the church at Corinth for disorders observing the Lord's Supper. Acts 20, verse 7 shows the first day of the week that Paul and the disciples gathered to do the memorial feast. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which is also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it,